Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Passage by Homer Jackson. Thank you for listening.
In the North, it wasn't much different from being down South. The only different word that you could ride and sit on the bus anywhere and ride. And you could go to a restaurant and sit in any place, and you could go to the movie and sit in any place. But other than that, it wasn't much different from being in the South.
Can't you figure it out, Mama?
People come to the North because they got better treatments and they could find a job. But down there, you couldn't find no job.
And when I was little, there was an old man, his name was Mudbone, and he dipped snuff and he'd sit in front of the barbecue pit and he'd spit. See, that was his job. I'm pretty sure that was his job, because that's all he did. But he'd tell stories, fascinating stories. See? He was fascinating. And I loved him. It made me very happy, because I'd stay with him and listen to this stuff. See, you're lying some when you listen to old people. They ain't all fools. You don't get to be old being no fools. So...
Jim Crow is where white people do not like black people, and they want to keep them separated. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is. It's a little different up here than it is down South, but I tell you this, Philadelphia right on the borderline of the South. And some places up here when I came, you still couldn't go. But now things have changed. You can go anywhere you want to here now.
You know, a nigga called me from Mississippi a couple nights ago. Said, Fox, why don't you come on down here in Mississippi and see what you can do? I said, brother, if the smog lifts, I can see from here what I can do in Mississippi. See, I would go to Mississippi, get my mama out of the hospital. I sent her a cab fare, but I'm not going to Mississippi.
I remember my mother leaving me there on the farm with my grandparents. And at some point or another, I then joined my mother in Chicago, but I did not originally go with her. And it was years later when I realized that my mother obviously didn't leave the South by herself, that she went with my father, Jonas Jenkins, to Chicago. And at some point in Chicago, they separated, because I never remember staying in Chicago with my mother and father. I remember staying in Chicago with my mother and her baby sister, my Aunt Joyce, and my Aunt Joyce's two children. And we stayed in a big old brownstone on the south side of Chicago. And that's where we moved from to come to Buffalo. And my Aunt Nell's husband, uncle's son, and my Aunt Dorothy's husband, my Uncle Tim, they came to Chicago and got us. One morning I woke up and my mother and my aunt was packing, and they told us, "We're moving to Buffalo." And she says to me, "Well, you remember your uncle's son and your Uncle Tim. Well, they're coming to get us, you know." And the next thing I knew, we were in a car coming to Buffalo. And that's how we got here. And it was in the wintertime, you know. And I remember them speeding down the highway and talking and everything and laughing about Buffalo and comparing Chicago to Buffalo and us pulling into Buffalo on a very cold and snowy day, you know.
I was born in Swainsboro, Georgia. Wasn't too much that I did when I was a kid, but as I got older, and I got older to go to work, then I had to go to work, which was on the farm. My father died when we all were small kids. My mother had to raise us, so I had to go to work. By the time I got big enough to do something, I had to go to work. I mean, I went to school between the chances I had to go to school, which I've had a few days to go to school. I went to school, and then when I had to stop and go to work, I had to work. So I didn't have a chance to get to school then. Because that sharecropper of your farming, and you get half of what you make. That's the way that's done. We didn't get no pay, just about what, didn't get very much. Because there wasn't very much to get. But time, his half, he get half, and the other half go to the big man, so. That's the way it was done. See, your parents got what little money it was we got, and they taking that for us to live off of. Buy clothes, shoes, and whatnot. When I first left home, I went to Florida. I didn't come up north. I wasn't in the north. I went to Florida. But then I came to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, about 12 miles from the line of Florida. In my boyhood, you couldn't hardly find no work to do. Whenever you worked, you didn't get no more than 40 cents a day. And the white people was mean down there. You had to go, whenever you worked for them, they gave you something to eat, you had to be in the to the back door. And then I thought I would come north. I did, you know, the people up here was more better than it was down there. And so I thought I would come north, and after I come here, I got a job. I didn't come here to stay. I just come here to work about 2 years and go back south and be home. But after I got here, I thought I would stay.
To this man, I say if he really believed we was really inferior to him, he would integrate his schools tomorrow and we would flunk out by noon.
The South was pretty rough then. And the whites did not like the blacks. So my mother said, "Well, I done seen enough of this." She was born there too. So she came to Philadelphia and raised me and my brother. So in 1935, my brother died, and we went back south to stay a little while. But we stayed 6 months. And that's where I learned that the white people was I don't know. I guess they're crazy down south. They had all these signs up saying the blacks go here and the blacks go there. They had separation for blacks to go to bathroom. They had separation for blacks to eat. And I went to a restaurant. I guess I was about 17 then. Went to a restaurant to get something to eat. And they told me I couldn't eat it in here. So I said, why? They say, well, we are not allowed to feed you in here and eat in here. I said, well, I'm not allowed to eat in here. I'm not allowed to pay for it. I said, money is green, and that's what you want. You can't eat it in here. I said, well, I don't want it. So they got mad at me and said, where are you from? I said, I'm from here, Greenville, South Carolina. But I was raised up north. I said, well, you can't eat in here. I said, well, I can't spend my money in here either.
And coming from south to north, thinking that the black people were going to accept you better, they had come north and got worse than the white people, some of them. You asked them to show you or to do something for you. I can't do it. I mean, you're just on your own. You don't know the way your way around. They don't show you a way around. You have to find your way around the best way that you can. So, in a way, it's like you come north and up against the wall.
Oh, what a beautiful city. Oh, what a beautiful city. Oh, what a beautiful. The gates of the city. Hallelujah. It is
come up here. I stayed with my sisters and sister and brother-in-law, and you couldn't find nowhere to stay. I had to sleep in the room with them for 6 months before you could find anywhere to stay. There's so many people here. I was the second black person moved in this block. I was in 51. Well, my neighbor treated me fine. They treated me fine, but sign was going up every day to sell their home. It was getting out from among the black people. Then a lot of black people moving in. In fact, all the white people moved out.
Is that clear to you? I've got nothing further to say to you.
Thank you.
sit out there and tell his story. And he said, when I first came up here from Tupelo, Mississippi, I drove up here in a tractor. That's right, 746 miles on one tank of gas. Said, I had to leave Tupelo because I was working down there. I was in charge of the levee in Lawrence County. So one night the levee bust and they blamed it on me.
I came up north from Virginia in 1936. I was staying with, my grandmother raised me. My grandmother died. My mother was up north, so I came up north with my mother. My mother came up north because her husband was up north, and he came up north because him and his uncle made moonshine, and the revenues tore up the place, and my stepfather was running from the law. That's why he came up north. My stepfather and I didn't get along. My mother was doing day's work. Day's work is when you go clean a house for someone. You clean the whole house in one day. My mother had to send clothes down Virginia for my sister. My stepfather didn't like that, so there was always an argument. It upset me so that I told my mother that I wanted to go to work so that I would be sending the clothes to my sister. I really should have been in school, but my mother didn't put me in school when I came to Philadelphia, so it wasn't hard for me to go to work, and I was pretty large for my age. So my mother got me a job. I had to learn how to clean, so the lady I worked for taught me how to clean. My first job, I only made $3 in car fare a week. But you would be surprised what you could do with $3 in those days.
Millions of black peoples moved from the South to the North. Millions of black peoples.
Jim Crow means that the white people didn't want nothing to do with you. Most of the colored people down there was scared of white people the way they treated them, because they, you know, they would lynch them, hang them. And so that's one reason the most of the colored people wanted to come north.
It was pretty rough in North finding a job. I was young, so my mother, she was doing domestic work. Domestic work is working for white people, cleaning house and washing windows and ironing and looking after their children and all that stuff. So that's what domestic work is, and cooking for them. And most black women did the domestic work for the white peoples. Took care of, practically raised the white peoples. The black women did. The black women cooked, sewed, washed, and ironed, took care of their babies, took care of the white babies. So my mother got tired of that, so she went to work for a restaurant. And still, it was white people. She went in the restaurant business with doing work, like waiting on people.
Because had he been sincere in racial prejudice and racial segregation, I have no business being this light.
There are a few isolated flare-ups between whites and Negroes, but otherwise the demonstration is peaceful. The first day, the marchers tramp a little over 7 miles. Those who have been assigned to complete the 54-mile walk hope to present a petition to Governor George Wallace. The first night is spent in a field near New Sister Springs Baptist Church.
Well, I mean, I don't want to just go into what I thought, because I understand, but I just don't want to go into that. Well, some things you just don't say, you know. Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of things they want to say, and a whole lot of things have been said. But I can't bring it out like a lot of people, because I'm not too good a spokesman, no way. Well, I mean, there's a whole lot could be said if it would help. You'd be treated wrong all your days, and sometimes you just take it, then you'll never get no further than that.
Millions of black peoples moved from the South to the North during the early part of the 20th century. Millions of black peoples moved from the South to the North. Millions of black peoples moved from the South to the North. Millions of black peoples.
It was tough trying to learn something hungry, sitting there with a cabbage sandwich wrapped up in some bread wrapper. That's right, a cabbage sandwich. Put it on the radiator and let the grease melt. I've been there, brother. Bread was so juicy.
This is a white country. We have to accept it. This is a white country. And we got to live in it. This is why it's important that you have to be more qualified than the white person in order to get in a job. Because, for instance, you have a job and you're qualified to do this job, and a white person is not qualified to do it, but if that white person have a degree, they can get that job and knows nothing about it. So that's why I say get everything that you can. Because, make no mistake about it, it is a difference between white and black.
Integration was a great thing, the greatest thing ever happened. The white people always had the money and always will have the money. So the colored people just have to take what the white folks give them.
In the North, it wasn't much different from being down South. The only different word that you could ride and sit on the bus anywhere and ride, and you could go to a restaurant and sit in any place, and you could go to the movie and sit in any place. But other than that, it wasn't much different from being in the South.
to stay.
You just heard Passage by Homer Jackson, broadcast by New American Radio.